Mother's Questions and Answers, February 13th, 1957. This week, Mother speaks about pain and suffering. She reads something that Sri Aurobindo wrote about pain and grief being a teaching, that pleasure is something very small and limited compared to the real delight of existence. Sri Aurobindo taught that the essence of our soul is delight. The highest consciousness is Satchitananda, existence, consciousness, and delight. It is the three inseparable aspects of one experience. Our soul is the delight aspect, the Ananda of Satchitananda. Our soul is the part of us that's always conscious of our supreme origin, and it is the supreme's delight of being. The supreme manifested himself as the whole creation. You can say that he purposely forgot his own truth as Satchitananda so he could go through the process of remembering it again and becoming it again, in many new and different ways, and living the delight of it all. The final end of the Supreme's manifestation is dense, unconscious, physical matter. It is farthest away from the light and consciousness. When people turn to a spiritual life, they are seekers of truth, and the real truth, the highest truth, the final truth, is living that conscious experience of Satchitananda in all things, including our dense, unconscious physical bodies. Sri Aurobindo, in his philosophy, brought back the necessity of including our body in spiritual realization. He showed us that it is not by sitting in meditation and escaping into inner realizations that the whole job is done. What we call pain and grief is an experience that we don't want to have. So when it comes to us, it makes us change what we're doing that hurts us. And this puts us back on our own proper path of progress. Pain itself brings a person to the age-old question that man has been asking since the beginning. Why should there be pain at all? Where does pain come from? Sri Aurobindo explains it in Savitri. In Book 2, The Traveler of the Worlds, King Ashwapati takes an inner journey to the world's soul at the center of creation. On the way, he sees the world of delight, the plane of Satchitananda, that life itself comes from. But he cannot enter this world, so he wants to find out why. He learns that at the beginning of creation, life plunged into inert, unconscious, physical matter to bring the spirit into matter. And we know that the spirit is Satchitananda. Life lost her light. She lost her delight when she had to go through the ordeal of the flesh to bring her true essence there. So in us, it is the longing of life itself that makes us seek something higher. Life's need to again be her true essence has given the law of craving to our lives. And pain and grief are tools of teaching to keep us going forward until life in us reaches her goal of delight of being. In our partly conscious movements, we strive to fill the gap between earth pain and the bliss from which life fell. Sri Aurobindo also talks about the need for pain and grief in Book 6, The Book of Fate. He speaks of it in Canto 2, appropriately called the way of fate and the problem of pain. The queen, Savitri's mother, learns from Narad, the sage and singer of the gods, that Sachevan, the man her daughter has chosen to marry, is going to die in 1 year. She feels the pain of knowing her child will have to face the pain of the early death of her husband. And she complains against the cruelties of fate. She asks, "Why is it all? And wherefore are we here? What need had the soul of ignorance and tears? Whence rose the call for sorrow and for pain?" And Narad says to the queen, "O queen, thy thought is a light of the ignorance. Its brilliant curtain hides from thee God's face. Thy mind's light hides from thee the eternal's thought. Thy heart's hopes hide from thee the eternal's will. Earth's joys shut from thee the immortal's bliss. Thence rose the need of a dark intruding God, the world's dread teacher, the creator, pain. Where ignorance is, there suffering too must come. Pain is the hand of nature sculpturing men to greatness. An inspired labor chisels with heavenly cruelty an unwilling mold. Pain is the hammer of the gods to break a dead resistance in the mortal's heart, his slow inertia as of living stone. If the heart were not forced to want and weep, his soul would have lain down, content, at ease, and never thought to exceed the human start, and never learned to climb towards the sun. This earth is full of the anguish of the gods. Ever they travail, driven by time's goad, and strive to work out the eternal will, and shape the life divine in mortal forms. His will must be worked out in human breasts, against the evil that rises from the gulfs, against the world's ignorance and its obstinate strength, against the stumblings of man's pervert will, against the deep folly of his human mind, against the blind reluctance of his heart. The spirit is doomed to pain till man is free." But then, Narad says, "Bliss is the secret stuff of all that lives. Even pain and grief are garbs of world delight. It hides behind thy sorrow and thy cry. Because thy strength is a part and not God's whole, because, afflicted by the little self, thy consciousness forgets to be divine as it walks in the vague penumbra of the flesh and cannot bear the world's tremendous touch, thou criest out and sayest that there is pain. Indifference, pain, and joy, a triple disguise, attire of the rapturous dancer in the ways, withhold from thee the body of God's bliss. Thy spirit's strength shall make thee one with God." Then Narad puts the responsibility on us, because we chose to take birth in a mortal body. He says, "O mortal, who complainest of death and fate, accuse none of the harms thyself has called. This troubled world thou hast chosen for thy home. Thou art thyself the author of thy pain." And then he goes on to speak of the soul in its unchanging happiness and its immortality, longing for the adventure of the ignorance, longing for the marvel and surprise of the unknown, and the hazard's call, and danger's charm. The soul yearned to the pathos of grief, and the drama of pain, and thus it took birth in a body on earth. And so, here we all are, faced with walking the way of fate and solving the problem of pain. In the story of Savitri, Sri Aurobindo goes on to say how Savitri has to fulfill her destiny. She has to go through the ordeal of her husband's destiny of dying. She has to face death and conquer death as part of her own destiny. But when Savitri faces the ordeal of living with her beloved husband and knowing he will die, and his death gets closer every day, she suffers tremendous grief and pain, and she abandons her own destined task in helplessness and hopelessness. But she has to fulfill her destiny, as we all do. One night, her higher being gives her a scolding and tells her she must fulfill her destiny. It says she should not nurse grief in a helpless heart and wait for doom. It says, quote, "What shall thy soul say when it wakes and knows the work was left undone for which it came?" The voice reminds her of her destined work and says, "Is this then the report that I must make, my head bowed in shame before the eternal seat? His power he kindled in thy body has failed? His laborer returns, her task undone?" Then the voice tells Savitri to seek for her soul. And she starts her yogic journey to find her soul and to prepare herself to face death. This tells us what we have to do. Each one of us came to fulfill our own destiny. Part of that destiny for each of us is to get beyond the need for teachings of pain. And our ultimate destiny is to become delight. In Mother's Talk today, she speaks about the role of pain in our lives and the secret of its truth. It is February 13th, 1957. We're sitting in the ashram playground. The ashramites are here, the students are here. Mother is sitting in front of the map of India. And today, Mother reads more to the class than they printed in the question and answer books. She teaches about only one paragraph of Sri Aurobindo's writing, but she reads others before it. It appears that Mother has come to class with a prepared presentation. It sounds like she's reading something already composed. She doesn't ask for questions this time, and nobody asks a question. Mother is reading small paragraphs from one of Sri Aurobindo's smaller books, quite a small book, called Thoughts and Glimpses. Here is what is not printed in the question and answer book. Mother starts the class by saying, "I'm going to read the first phrases before the paragraph in order to make the paragraph we have today more understandable." And she reads this. "In all these things, there is a meaning. And for all these contradictions, there is a release. Nature has a method in every madness of her combinings. And for her most inextricable knots, there is a solution. Weakness puts the same test and question to the strengths and energies and greatnesses in which we glory. Power is the play of life, shows its degree, finds the value of its expression. Weakness is the play of death pursuing life in its movements and stressing the limit of its acquired energy. Then Mother reads the short paragraph, which is the subject of today's class. Pain and grief are nature's reminder to the soul that the pleasure it enjoys is only a feeble hint of the real delight of existence. In each pain and torture of our being is the secret of a flame of rapture, compared with which our greatest pleasures are only as dim flickerings. It is this secret which forms the attraction for the soul of the great ordeals, sufferings, and fierce experiences of life which the nervous mind in us shuns and abhors. And there's a silence. And then Mother begins to speak. Quite naturally, we ask ourselves what this secret is towards which pain leads us. For a superficial and incomplete understanding, one could believe that it is pain which the soul is seeking. Not at all. The very nature of the soul is divine delight, constant, unvarying, unconditioned, ecstatic. But it is true that if one can face suffering with courage, endurance, and unshakable faith in the divine grace, if one can, instead of shunning suffering when it is in front of you, if one can enter into it with this will, this aspiration to go through it in order to find the luminous truth, the unvarying delight, which is at the core of all things. The door of pain is often more direct, more immediate than that of satisfaction or contentment. I am not speaking of pleasure, because pleasure turns its back constantly and almost completely on this profound divine delight. Pleasure is a deceptive and perverse disguise which turns us away from our goal. And we certainly should not seek it if we are in haste to find the truth as quickly as possible. Pleasure vaporizes us. It deceives us, leads us astray. Pain brings us back to a deeper truth by obliging us to concentrate in order to be able to endure it, in order to be able to face this thing that crushes us. It is in pain that one most easily finds the true strength again when one is strong. It is in pain that one most easily finds the true faith again, that in something which is above and beyond all pain. When one enjoys oneself and forgets, when one takes things as they come, when one tries to avoid being serious and looking life in the face, in a word, when one seeks to forget that there is a problem to solve, that there is something to find, that we have a reason for existence and living, that we are not here just to pass our time and go away without having learnt or done anything, then one really loses one's time. One misses the opportunity that has been given to us. This, I cannot say unique, but marvelous opportunity for an existence which is a place where one progresses, which is the moment in eternity when you can discover the secret of life. For this physical material existence is a wonderful opportunity, a possibility given to you to find the purpose of life, to make you advance one step towards this deeper truth, to make you discover this secret which puts you into contact with the eternal rapture of the divine life. And Mother's quiet for a moment. Then she says, I've already told you many times that to seek suffering and pain is a morbid attitude which must be avoided. But to run away in the face of it, through forgetfulness, through a superficial, frivolous movement, through diversion, is cowardice. When pain comes, it comes to teach us something. The quicker we learn it, the more the need for the pain diminishes. And when we know the secret, it will no longer be possible to suffer. For that secret reveals to us the reason, the cause, the origin of suffering, and the way to pass beyond it. The secret is to emerge from the ego, to get out of its prison, to unite ourselves with the divine, to merge into Him, not to allow anything to separate us from Him. Then, once one has discovered this secret and realizes it in one's being, pain loses its reason for being in you, and suffering disappears. It is an all-powerful remedy, not only in the deeper parts of the being, in the soul, in the spiritual consciousness, but also in life and in the body. There is no illness, no disorder, which can resist the discovery of this secret and the putting of it into practice, not only in the higher parts of the being, but also in the cells of the body. If one knows how to teach the cells the splendor that lies within them, if one knows how to make them understand the reality which gives them being, which makes them exist, then they too enter the total harmony. And the physical disorder which causes the illness vanishes, as do all other disorders of the being. But for that, one must be neither cowardly nor fearful. When the physical disorder comes, one must not be afraid. One must not run away from it. One must face it with courage, calmness, confidence, with the certitude that illness is a falsehood, and that if one turns entirely in full confidence, with a complete quietude, to the divine grace, it will settle in these cells, as it is established in the depths of the being, and the cells themselves will share in the eternal truth and delight.
Je vais reprendre la première phrase du paragraphe afin de faire comprendre plus facilement le paragraphe que nous allons lire aujourd'hui. Il existe une signification pour toutes ces choses. et une délivrance de toutes ces contradictions. Dans ces combinaisons les plus folles, la nature suit une méthode et ses nœuds les plus inextricables ont leur dénouement. La faiblesse place la même épreuve et la même question devant les forces, les énergies et les grandeurs dont nous nous glorifions. Le pouvoir est le jeu de la vie. Il en donne la mesure et fournit la valeur de son expression. La faiblesse est le jeu de la mort. Poursuivant la vie dans son mouvement et marquant les limites de l'énergie qu'elle a acquise. Par la douleur et le chagrin, la nature rappelle à l'âme que les plaisirs dont elle jouit ne sont qu'un faible reflet de la réelle joie de l'existence. Chaque souffrance, chaque torture de notre être contient le secret d'une flamme d'extase en comparaison de laquelle nos plus grandes jouissances ne sont que des lueurs vacillantes. C'est ce secret qui crée l'attraction de l'âme pour les grandes épreuves, les souffrances et les expériences terribles de la vie, alors même que notre mental nerveux les abomine et les fuit. Tout naturellement, nous nous demandons quel est ce secret vers lequel conduit la douleur. Pour une compréhension superficielle et incomplète pourrait croire que c'est la douleur que l'âme recherche. Il n'en est rien. La nature même de l'âme est la joie divine, constante, invariable, inconditionnée, extatique. Mais il est vrai que si on peut faire face avec courage, endurance, une foi inébranlable en la grâce divine, si l'on peut, au lieu de fuir la souffrance quand elle vient vers vous, entrez en elle avec cette volonté, cette aspiration de passer à travers elle pour trouver la vérité lumineuse, la joie invariable qui est au fond de toute chose, la porte de la douleur est souvent plus directe, plus immédiate que celle de la satisfaction ou du contentement. Je ne parle pas du plaisir parce que lui tourne le dos d'une façon constante et presque totale à cette joie divine profonde. Le plaisir est un déguisement trompeur et pervers qui nous détourne de notre but et que nous ne devons certainement pas rechercher si nous avons hâte de trouver la vérité. Le plaisir nous évapore, il nous trompe, il nous égare. La douleur nous ramène à une vérité plus profonde en nous obligeant à nous concentrer pour pouvoir endurer, pour pouvoir faire face à cette chose qui broie c'est dans la douleur qu'on retrouve le plus facilement la vraie force lorsqu'on est fort. C'est dans la douleur qu'on retrouve le plus facilement la vraie foi, celle en quelque chose qui est au-delà, par-dessus toute douleur. Quand on s'amuse, et qu'on oublie quand on prend les choses comme elles viennent, quand on cherche à éviter d'être grave, de regarder la vie en face. En un mot, quand on cherche à oublier qu'il y a des problèmes à résoudre, qu'il y a quelque chose à trouver, que nous avons une raison d'être et de vivre, que nous ne sommes pas ici juste pour passer notre temps et pour nous en aller sans avoir rien appris ni rien fait. Alors, on perd vraiment son temps. On perd l'occasion qui vous est donnée, cette occasion, je ne peux pas dire unique, mais merveilleuse, d'une existence qui est le lieu du progrès, qui est le moment de l'éternité où vous pouvez découvrir le secret de la vie. Car l'existence physique, matérielle, c'est une occasion merveilleuse, une possibilité qui vous est donnée de trouver la raison d'être de la vie, pour vous faire avancer d'un pas vers cette vérité profonde, pour vous faire découvrir ce secret qui vous met en contact avec l'extase éternelle de la vie divine. Je vous ai dit déjà bien des fois que de rechercher la souffrance et la douleur est une attitude morbide qu'il faut éviter. Mais de fuir devant elle par l'oubli, par un mouvement superficiel, léger, par le divertissement, c'est une lâcheté. Quand la douleur vient, c'est pour nous apprendre quelque chose. Plus vite nous l'apprenons, plus le besoin de la douleur diminue. Et quand nous saurons le secret, il ne sera plus possible de souffrir. Car ce secret-là vous révèle la raison, la cause, l'origine de la souffrance et le moyen de passer au-delà. Le secret, c'est d'émerger de l'ego, de sortir de sa prison, de nous unir au divin, de nous fondre en lui, de ne permettre à rien de nous séparer de lui, Alors, une fois qu'on a découvert ce secret et qu'on le réalise dans son être, la douleur a perdu sa raison d'être et la souffrance disparaît. C'est un remède tout-puissant. Non pas seulement dans les parties profondes de l'être, dans l'âme, dans la conscience spirituelle, mais aussi dans la vie et dans le corps. Il n'y a pas de maladie, il n'y a pas de désordre qui puisse résister à la découverte de ce secret et à sa mise en pratique, non pas seulement dans les parties supérieures de l'être, mais dans les cellules du corps. Si on sait leur apprendre la splendeur qui est au-dedans d'elle, si on sait leur faire comprendre la réalité qui les fait être, qui leur donne l'existence. Alors, elles aussi, elles entrent dans l'harmonie totale. Et le désordre physique qui produit la maladie s'évanouit comme tous les autres désordres de l'être. Mais pour cela, il ne faut être ni lâche, ni craintif. Quand le désordre physique vient sur vous, il ne faut pas avoir peur. Il ne faut pas le fuir, il faut lui faire face avec courage, tranquillité, confiance, certitude que la maladie est un mensonge. Et que si l'on se tourne entièrement, en pleine confiance, avec une complète tranquillité, vers la grâce divine, elle s'installera dans ses cellules, comme elle s'installe dans les profondeurs de l'être, et les cellules elles-mêmes participeront à la vérité et à la joie éternelle.